You're listening to STP Radio.
Welcome back to STP Radio. I am your host, Mike Lyles, and I'm excited to conduct another interview with one of our upcoming speakers at our Spring 2017 STPCon conference. In case you've not signed up yet, STPCon is going to be in Phoenix, Arizona from March the 14th through the 17th. And if you reach out to me, I can share a discount code for your registration. Be sure to check out stpcon.com where you can learn more about the conference, the speakers, our special events, and our conference pricing. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Look for @softwaretestpro on both of those social networks. So let's meet our guests for today. Today we have Kristen Wiedemann. Welcome to the STP Radio Show, Kristen.
Thanks, Mike.
So I want to tell the folks a little bit about you. Kristen has a PhD in physics. She sees software testing as a problem-solving and detective work with strong parallels to science. She believes that testers can and should apply the scientific method. And in her role as a chief scientist, Kristen drives PQA testing's research and method development work and continues to use her scientific background to develop her own skills and those of others. And most importantly, Kristen has what I'm going to call for this interview, the speaking trifecta with our upcoming conference. And that is because she is going to be doing a keynote, a workshop, and a breakout session. So it's great to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about you, Kristen, and how you got into testing.
Thanks, Mike. And thanks for the introduction. Testing was really a little bit of a random coincidence for me, which I think rings true for a lot of testers out there. My background is originally in particle physics, but once I graduated, I didn't quite know what to do, if I wanted to stay in academia or if I wanted to get a job in industry. So I decided to give industry a try. And as a physicist, one way to go is to get a job as a developer. As I was an experimental physicist, I spent a lot of my time doing data analysis and building tools to simulate detectors and to do very specific data manipulation. But I quickly realized that I'm not a very good software developer. But on the other hand, I was a pretty good tester. And I found I was actually a bit bored as a developer. I was, to be perfectly honest, not used to have requirements I had to follow and somebody else's expectations on what my code should look like and do. So I felt fairly constrained in that role. Whereas I found that on the other hand, what I learned in science and in research was really a good fit for testing, where there was more freedom to explore and there were a lot of questions but not a lot of answers. And that's exactly what it was like to do research at university. You were trying to ask good questions, and then you worried about the answers. But the first step was always, how do I define a good question? And to me, that's exactly what testing is about. What questions am I trying to ask?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think the scientific method that you're implementing, it really is a science. And we talk about whether it's an art or a science. I think it can be both. But I really think digging in, asking those questions, folks that I've interviewed and brought in to my organizations that have been testers with me, I love it when they ask questions. I've used an example of carrying a stapler with me and making them think that I'm just bringing it for work. And then at the end of the interview, I ask them to test it. And I look for their questions more than all the ways they would test a stapler. And, you know, the ones that ask me, what is this? You know, how are you going to use it? What do you want to do with it? Those are the intuitive people you want to have on your team that really ask, you know, some of those deep digging questions.
Yeah, I think it's about the curiosity and not sort of questioning answers rather than trying to answer questions too, to some extent.
Oh, and absolutely. Just
the desire to learn. I always wanted to learn more. And it doesn't matter so much really what the topic is. It's just that feeling of new knowledge, new information.
Yes. Absolutely. So I wanted to start with something a little different today. Usually I jump right into what the speaking topics are, but I noticed something really interesting in our discussion about non-testing and non-work-related things with you, and you state that you can bake a perfect loaf of bread in 2 minutes. And I want to know, how is that possible, and what is that process?
Well, it's actually really, really simple. I've always been interested in cooking and baking, and I've been baking bread since probably I was 5 years old. And, you know, it's all about kneading and rise times and making sure you have the right combination of different types of flours and how you handle the yeast. But then, through random coincidence again, my husband and I came onto this recipe that's really just simple. It's 2 parts of flour to 1 part water, and you don't even need it. You just mix it all up and let it rise for a long time. And the revelation to me was that when I've always been kneading the dough and thought that's how I'm going to get the perfect loaf, what you can do instead is just increase the rise time. So with less work and less effort, I get a much better loaf of bread. And it probably just takes me really 2 minutes of effort and then leaving it for 10 to 20 hours.
Wow. So I think that kind of speaks to your keynote that's coming up, which is called Future Horizons, Mapping Out the Next Decade of Testing. And it speaks to the world is changing every day. And a lot of times when I'm presenting, I speak about how that 30 years ago, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have mobile, we didn't have all these things that we have today. And who knows what we're having next down the road. And I think with technology and tools, processes, we see the need for speed in delivering products. And the role of the tester in this change that we see every day is being redefined. And I can't wait to hear your keynote on this topic. So what do you hope the audience takes away from your keynote and what you wish to present to them there?
I think as with every presentation that I give, what I'm hoping is that I'm going to learn something from the audience. And if there's one thing I hope the audience is going to walk away with, it's actually more questions. So I'm pretty sure most of us have some kind of ideas in our head about what the future looks like. But those ideas are very, very different. And sometimes we let our ideas of the future guide what we do now. And that can be both good and bad. So what I'm hoping people are going to take away from the session is question their view of what testing in the future looks like. And maybe be a little bit more open-minded. And some people may have noticed that I've posted a survey on LinkedIn where I'm asking people to give me their input on what they think the future looks like. I'm not going to give anything away right now, but I can definitely tell you that the results that are coming in are super interesting. And how people that have answered the survey view the future in testing is quite different from how I envision it.
I think it's very interesting to ask that question. I've seen that and I've asked a lot of the folks, and I did a keynote for STP back in Dallas in September, and I'd interviewed several folks in the testing community and asked them what they thought the future looked like as well. And I think it's really interesting to hear the diversity there and what people are saying and what they think is going to happen and what their goals are and what their fears are and what they think they're going to have to do. So I think it's going to be a very interesting keynote.
It's been a lot of fun to explore that area because there's an aspect of how do I prepare for the future in there, right? And it's as true for me as anyone else. How do I best set myself up for success as a tester in the next decade? And a lot of the time we get very caught up in today and what were the problems or challenging we're encountering right now. And we let the past guide us a little bit too much too. So I've spent a lot of time just thinking about how testing has changed and I started in the industry. And trying to think about what I expect the changes to be over the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years.
Well, I've learned also a very important fact about you, and that is that you have juggled at the South Pole in Antarctica. And I don't even know what would take a person to South Pole, but I also don't know what would take you there and you would be juggling. Very interesting in hearing this story about this expedition and why you were there and how this came across.
So part of my research work was to look for high-energy neutrinos, so very small, very light elementary particles that come from outer space. And the best way to capture them is to have a very large volume of something that's transparent. And that kind of gives you two cheap options, water or ice. So the experiment I worked on consisted of a detector that's actually buried in the ice in Antarctica at South Pole. So I went down to South Pole to work on the detector electronics. And you always need to have fun too. I think it's very important to have fun while you're working. And I like to juggle, so me and my colleagues, we brought juggling balls. And if you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity at juggling at South Pole, wouldn't you take that too, Mike?
Absolutely. I definitely would do that. I don't think I would be good at it, but I definitely would try it.
It's not about being good at something. It's about getting better.
Yes. Well, speaking of juggling multiple things, you have a workshop with us called Building a Knowledge Network. And there used to be an old quote that says, knowledge is power. And there is still some truth to that statement. However, through the years, I've heard a lot of folks and a leadership expert a year or so say that knowledge is not power as much as execution of that knowledge is power. And you have a well-fitting comment in your workshop description that says, we need to understand the varied resources of knowledge so that we become a modern Renaissance tester. Now, that's an interesting statement, but I agree with what you're driving to with this workshop. And I'm very excited to hear what you're going to do in the workshop and what you wish to share with the audience there.
So this is something that I've been thinking about probably for 10 years now. When I went to university and I was learning about particle physics, I learned through textbooks. You had a textbook on quantum field theory and you read through it every single page and you learned about quantum field theory. And I tried to use a similar approach when I started testing. I was trying to find the textbook on testing and read through all the pages and learn. And there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, learning by reading is actually not a great way of learning. But there's too much happening in the industry. There isn't one book that's going to teach you about technology and test approaches and development methodologies. So my very traditional approach to learning just didn't fit anymore. And right. Over the years, I've really expanded my sources for information and knowledge. I think when it really changed for me, or when I really started thinking about it differently, was when I started listening to podcasts, funnily enough. And I realized there was this beautiful world of information that I could digest while I was doing something else. And I could go outside of the topic of testing too. And every podcast I listened to, I learned something. But more than anything, it gave me ideas for other things I wanted to learn about. So after listening to a podcast, I typically have a couple of books I need to look up, or a couple of articles, or a person that I think is really interesting. And I started visualizing this in my head as each little piece of information is a little colorful dot somewhere. But what's really intriguing is how they connect to each other. And I think that's something we haven't talked enough about. And that's what I want to spend this workshop talking about, is what are the sources of information and knowledge today, and how do we utilize them most efficiently? Because you can't learn everything about everything anymore. It's not possible. Right. What you need to know is how you're quickly going to find the information or knowledge that you need. So you need to both know both the sources, but also how you access them and how you get information or answers out of them.
I love this because I think that in a team concept where you have different folks and you have different understandings and knowledge of a particular product or a particular area that you're working, I think having those different aspects really helps. There's an exercise that I have done in workshops in the past where I have a giant glass bottle and it's full of gumballs. And I ask everyone to tell me that will volunteer to do it, and 20 or 30 people will do it, is to give me their count of what their guess is that number of balls in the bottle. And you'll get ranges from, 100 or 500 to 1,000. And it never fails that when I average all the numbers, it always comes within 50 or 100 of the actual number that's in the bottle. And the moral there is everybody estimates a different way. Everybody thinks a different way. So if you've got someone that might, think of things a little bit on the lighter side, and somebody might overdo it on the other side, but they average out because none of us is as good as all of us. And I think that knowledge in a working environment where you've got one person that does this way and thinks down this path, and the other person says, I didn't even think about that. Or you start sharing the knowledge of the system where this person has that experience, but can share it with somebody else, and then everybody learns it. I think it's extraordinary, and I think it plays to the fact of, you get a lot of organizations using consulting today, and they say, if my consultants leave, then there goes my knowledge. And I think, I'm assuming that your presentation here is going to help people figure out how to handle that situation as well.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important point. I think the fear of losing knowledge within organizations is bigger now than ever. And I think the fallacy there is that we shouldn't worry so much about losing the knowledge. The knowledge is still there. We should make sure we have a way to still access it.
Yes, yes, very true.
And I think that's actually more important.
True. Well, another important thing I learned about you is that you're certified to work professionally with chainsaws in Sweden. Now, I'm not sure how one would go about certification on chainsaws, but would be very interested in knowing more about this story.
Well, my dad actually owns a small farm. It's a tree farm. And I figured as he's getting older, at one point or another, I'm probably going to help him. And I've used chainsaws before, but it seemed like a good idea to learn how to use them safely. And in Sweden, there's a five-day certification that ends with a formal test where you have to precision cut down a tree. And you have about a target that you have to hit with about a 1 foot margin of error. And it's a slightly different type of certification than maybe the ones we have in testing. It's certainly very hands-on, and it's learning by doing, and it's testing by doing. And it was a lot of fun. The only problem I had with the certification was that we were outside for 8 hours a day on a week when it was minus 30 degrees Celsius. So it was very, very cold, but it also made me very motivated to work and stay active. What was interesting about that too was being exposed to a group of people that had a completely different knowledge set than I had. And I learned so much more than just the chainsawing part, just by, again, going outside of my knowledge base and talking to people that are working in a different industry than I am.
Taking that knowledge from your family business, I think that, and trying to learn from what your family has been doing is commendable, and understanding things that other people do and how you can learn to do those things as well. I see that you have a session with us called Promoting Diversity Through Inclusive Leadership. I think that's definitely a situation where we have to understand other people and how other people are working and cultures and the diversities. The first sentence in your description for this session says, everyone is talking about diversity. And I think this is definitely the truth. This session should appeal to many people of all ages and cultures and personalities. And I think I'd love to hear, what is your major message that you hope to convey to the attendees with this session?
I think there are two things I would like people to take away from it. As testers, we talk about ourselves as being user advocates, and that we're trying to provide information about the application that we're testing to help to be part of a team that builds a better quality product. And if we're truly going to be able to do that, we need to be a group of diverse people that can understand and approach the software from different perspectives. So part of it is talking about, why is it important that testers have different backgrounds, and that we encourage and embrace differences and make sure we don't try to create a group of testers that are all the same and think the same, and that we need to question each other and, again, encourage differences and let them sometimes get bigger rather than smaller. The other part of it is that when we do talk about diversity, we tend to focus very much on the diversity part, so creating a diverse team. But it's really just the first step. You need to make that sustainable too, and make sure that a team is happy. And I think the way to do that is by being an inclusive leader. And you don't have to be a formal leader, so a team lead or a manager. It's taking responsibility for your own actions, of course, in that environment, and how we as individuals can be inclusive leaders.
I like that a lot. And I think that's, it's really the inclusive leader. Doesn't matter if it's in testing or it's in leadership or whatever the role or the organization is. I think being that leader, even moving into like a servant leadership role, I think being able to support your team and let them know that you're trying to understand everybody's point of view and their value to the team. I agree with you completely. That inclusive leadership will change an entire team. And I think folks are really going to love your session at the conference on this topic.
Well, if we agree that testing is about asking questions, then we probably also agree that we need to ask a lot of different questions.
Yes.
That means we need to be a group of different people.
My most enjoyable moments on a testing team, working with the organization, several that I've worked with through the years now, is when I have someone ask that question, what if I do this? And I say to myself, I wish I'd have been the one to ask that question. Why didn't I think of that? It was so simple. And then I always strive to be that one that asks that one question to the group. Look what I just did. Why did that work that way? And you hear people, you know, like, I wanted to be the one. And I think that's, you get a team that's, it's not necessarily competitive, but it's, you challenge that team to look for ways to show that they're different and they're not just going through the step-by-step testing process that everybody else is doing. You know, how can I be different and be innovative? So I think it's going to be exciting.
I'm definitely looking forward to it.
So I'm sure you've seen the awesome program lineup we've got. And as you look over the keynotes, the sessions, the workshops, what are some of the things that you see out there that are interesting you and what things you hope to take away from them?
Well, it's always hard at STPCon since you have to pick sessions and you can't go to everything. But I like getting surprised. To me, conferences are about getting new impressions and new ideas and not go to sessions that talk about things that I maybe already know or they're just going to confirm sort of opinions I already have. So I've been looking at the STPCon program as it's been uploaded, and there's a lot of interesting topics, but I have a couple of favorites already. I tend to make last-minute changes too, but one of the sessions I'm most excited about is actually Maria's sessions on asking questions. Based on what we talked about so far, that's maybe an obvious one. Because that's, again, that's what testing is to me. It's about asking questions. But you also have to ask good questions and the right questions. And that's what Maria is going to talk about in her session. And I really look forward to getting some new ideas on how to come up with good questions, but also how to phrase them and how to ask them. And I've watched see Maria speak before, and she's really a great, engaging speaker. And you always feel energized when you leave one of her sessions.
That's a great selection. Maria, I think this is her first time at STPCon, if I recall. And it's going to be exciting to have, speaking of diversity of different speakers, we've got some really big names like yourself and Maria and some of the other folks that are coming to the program that it really was a difficult task for us to define our schedule because we have so many things going on at once. That in a couple of situations, you just had to have two really, really strong speakers that we felt people were going to have to really take a big decision on, do I go to this one or this one? I think it's a good problem to have, but we're getting more and more speakers from all over the planet that want to be part of this program, and it just continues to grow. And I like what you said. I think it's going to be a challenge for some folks to decide, do I go to this one or do I go to that one? And with our workshops, a lot of our workshop speakers, we have them speak in a workshop in a session. So maybe if you miss someone you really want to hear workshop, you can see their session and, you know, flop and swap that with someone else that you might have wanted to see during their spot. So we're looking forward to the program. I really think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and what I tend to do if I can't go to a session I really wanted to attend is, of course, go talk to the speaker in the breaks or in the networking sessions, because there's always enough time at STPCon to catch up over a drink later or over breakfast. So if you can't go to a session, try to find the speaker afterwards or before.
That's very true. And the thing I love about conferences that I've attended, but more STPCon, I think with our social events we have the speakers meet and greet on the night before the conference starts on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday night, we have the sponsor event. And so it's a lot of opportunity to meet the speakers one-on-one, a lot of opportunity to meet the sponsors and the other attendees. So we do give a lot of opportunities for folks to meet and to sit down and talk. And what I've found is most of the speakers that I've met, all the ones that have come to STPCon, are very interested in talking to other people and hearing what their questions are, getting to know them. We've seen a lot of connections made at STPCon, and we're looking forward to having you there with your three presentations and to be there to talk to the crowd as well. I'm sure folks will be interested in meeting you.
Oh, I love talking about testing in any context. So absolutely, anyone that's at the conference, please look me up and have a chat.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for your time today. We are really looking forward to seeing you in Phoenix and hearing your presentations. I think it's going to be one of the best that we've ever had. And thank you so much for being with us today.
It was great, Mike. I really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you about the conference. And I'm definitely very excited about the program.
Well, thank you so much. This concludes our next episode of STP Radio. Thanks to everybody for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes. We have several speakers coming soon in the next week and a half to 2 weeks. If you haven't signed up yet for our conference, get out there and register. And we look forward to seeing everyone in Phoenix in March. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of STP Radio. And stay tuned for more episodes. Learn more about the conference being held in Phoenix, Arizona, March 14th through 17th by visiting stpcon.com.